In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. In my opinion, it's one of the most amazing passages in all of Scripture. It's a passage that is so amazing that every time I read it, I try to stop and contemplate about how amazing this passage actually is. And unfortunately, in my opinion, many people don't see how amazing this passage is or contemplate it enough. What passage am I talking about? I'm talking about the first half of the second verse of our text from St. Luke's Gospel, where Jesus says, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father.'" Father. And isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that when you address the holy and righteous God, you get to call him Father? For think about your earthly fathers for just a second. If you had a good earthly father, you probably have good thoughts in your minds right now. You're thinking of someone who loved you, someone who cared for you, someone who provided for you, protected you, and gave you everything that you may ever need. And even if, as a result of sin in this world, your father was not so good, even then you still have a concept of what a father does. A father is someone who takes you by the hand when you're about to cross a busy street, so that you feel safe and no longer are afraid. A father is someone who walks you down the aisle full of pride and gives you away to your soon-to-be husband. A father is someone who is still there for you. Even if you are out of the house, a father is still there for you and can listen to you and give you advice. That's what all good earthly fathers do. And if that's what good earthly fathers do, well then, isn't it amazing that when you address the holy and righteous God, you get to call him Father? For that's a privilege that you should not have. You should not have the privilege of calling God your Father. Oh, to be sure, he created and formed you. He made you as he made everything else in this world. And so in that respect, all creation can call God Father, for a father is a creator or a maker. But when Jesus is teaching us to pray and tells us to address our God as Father, that's not really what is on our mind. He's so much more than just the creator and maker. Instead, when we address him as Father, we address him as the best father, better than the earthly fathers, better than even the best earthly fathers. For we address him as the one who loves us perfectly, the one who cares for us perfectly, the one who will always give us perfect blessings every single time. That's who you are addressing when you call out to your Father. And once again, that's a privilege that you should not have. For even though we all are fearfully and wonderfully made by our Father in heaven, even though our Father has given us more blessings than we can even imagine, what do you and I do with these blessings? We throw it right back into our Father's face. For you sin, you disobey. You sin in thought, word, and deed. You sin by doing evil things, and you sin by not doing the good things that your Father has laid out for you to do. Yes, you sin every single day, and so do I. And therefore, our Father in heaven should abandon us. He should disown us. For just as some earthly fathers may disown their children, if their children just continue to commit terrible acts again and again and again without fail, so also our God, our Heavenly Father, He has every right to disown you and to disown me because of all the constant terrible sins that we commit day after day. It's what our God should do. But it's not what He does. For listen again to that amazing passage. Despite the many sins that you have committed, despite how we all sin against Him day after day, listen again to what Jesus says. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father. Father. And how is that possible for us sinners? How can we address the holy and righteous God as Father? Think about what happened at the font. Yes, when you were baptized, some water was placed on your head connected with the Holy Word of God. And yes, when you are baptized, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit came down upon you and forgave your sins. But think about what that means. That means that because you are baptized, it means that your status before God has changed. You're no longer separated from God, apart from Him or His enemy, as we all were by nature. Instead, because you have been baptized, you are now connected with God, united with Him, and are joined together in His holy family. In fact, that's the entire reason why the Son of God came down to earth. Came down to earth to bring you into His family. For when you were baptized, God placed His holy name on you. You were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And think about what that means. If God has placed His name on you, that means He has claimed you to be His own. It means He has said about you, you are a part of My family. For just as fathers place their name upon their children when their children are born, as an example, all my children have the last name Fry, so that everyone knows they belong to me for better or for worse. So also your God has placed His very name on you through the waters of holy baptism, claiming you to be His own, so that everybody knows that He is your dear Father and that you are His dear child. And now that you are a part of the family of God through the waters of holy baptism, now that you, as a dear child, can cry out to your God and say, Father, now? Well, now you have that wonderful privilege, that privilege that all three readings focused on, the privilege of praying to your God. And you don't just pray for the sake of praying, babbling, hoping that some divine being actually hears you. When you pray, you get to pray with boldness and with confidence because you know that you are God's dear child and that He is your dear Father. And Jesus brings that out in our text. He brings out how we can approach Him with boldness and with confidence. For in two different examples, Jesus shows us what a privilege it is to pray to our Father and how we can pray to Him with such boldness and confidence. For in the first example, Jesus uses a story of someone going to his friend in the middle of the night and asking for some bread. And the friend really doesn't want to get up in the middle of the night and get him some bread. He's reluctant to do so. But Jesus ends with these words. He says, but because of his bold persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you can relate to doing something for someone, not because you really want to do it, but simply because they have been so bold as to ask. You can think of maybe buying that candy bar from that kid who's doing a fundraiser. You don't really want the candy bar, but you buy it anyways because the kid was so bold to ask. Or maybe it's helping a friend move. You really don't want to spend your entire Saturday helping someone move, but because they are so bold, you are willing to help out. And if that's what we sinful creatures do in this world, if we sometimes do things, even reluctantly, because someone asked us to do them, well, just imagine what your Father in heaven will do for you when you pray to him. For your Father in heaven is not reluctant. He wants to give you many blessings. He has promised to give you many blessings. He promises to provide and protect you. He promises to give you forgiveness. He promises to bring you and many other people into the glorious realms of heaven. And if he has promised those things, you know he is going to do them. He cannot lie. He is bound to fulfill all of his promises. This is why you can pray so boldly. Your Father has given you such wonderful promises. And as your dear Father, he loves to give you all sorts of blessings. And so anytime you pray to him, you can be confident that he is going to shower you with blessings, with more blessings than you can even imagine. So how can you not pray to him with boldness? And how can you not pray to him with confidence? Jesus brings out the same point with the second example that he uses. He talks about earthly fathers. And he says, earthly fathers know that their children need bread and not a stone, or a fish and not a scorpion. And then he says something about earthly fathers that might be a little offensive, but it's actually quite comforting. He says, if you then, you earthly fathers, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, all earthly fathers are evil. Even the best earthly father is evil. For all earthly fathers are sinful. You know that. After all, it was your earthly fathers who passed down that trait of original sin to you. And so there are times that your earthly fathers mess up. There are times that they weren't there for you. There are times that they didn't give the right gift or couldn't give the right gift. There are times that they had their priorities backwards. And yet, even though your earthly fathers were sinful, you can still think of them holding your hand as you cross that busy road, taking away all of your fears. You can maybe think of them walking you down the aisle full of pride at who you have become. You can maybe think of the last conversation that you had with your father and how he gave you that good advice. And if your father, your earthly father, though he is evil, knew how to give those good gifts to you, then how much more doesn't your Father in heaven know exactly what you need? For your Father in heaven is perfect. He's not evil. He's not sinful. He's perfect. He never does not know what you need. He never does not have the power to help you out. But he always has a perfect love for you. He always has a perfect care for you. He will always give the perfect blessing to you and to your loved ones every time you pray for yourself or for your loved ones, simply because he is your dear father and you are his dear child. And that's what good fathers do for their children. They love and care and provide for them. So how could you not pray to your Father in heaven with boldness? How could you not pray to your Father in heaven with confidence? And so, dear children of your Father in heaven, cry out to him. Cry out, Father, dear Father, help me. Father, dear Father, help me by giving me the strength to keep your name, which you placed on me through baptism, holy, by abounding in good works and speaking your name properly. Father, dear Father, help me by reigning inside of my heart so that you are in control of my heart and not the devil, the world, or the sinful flesh. Father, dear Father, help me. Help me by making sure that your will, which will lead me to heaven, is done, and not the will of my enemies, the devil, the world, or my sinful flesh. Father, dear Father, help me by providing everything I need for this life, by forgiving my sins and giving me the strength to forgive others, by being with me and giving me the strength to fight against all temptation. Father, dear Father, help me. Help me by taking all that is evil, all that is a result of sin in this world, and driving it far away from me. And even, dear Father, if you allow that evil to come into my life, remind me that you have a good and loving purpose for it, because you are my dear Father, and I am your dear child. Yes, Father, dear Father, help me. Help me. Listen to me. Answer me. Until that day, dear Father, that you take me and the rest of God's children home, and we can join together as one big happy family for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made.